141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The halftime break just about coming to an end, depending where you are at Celtic Park. Gabriel, it is goalless. Celtic have had a number of chances. Hearts had a penalty that was then overturned. So it's been interesting enough. Any sign of any changes at the break?
I don't think so, Gordon. The two teams just coming out of the tunnel as we speak. So I will quickly check. Hearts look like they are as they were in their 5-3-2 formation. Celtic just emerging from the tunnel now. Yes, Celtic look like they're the same 11. Quick run through: Schmeichel, Johnson, Carter Vickers, Scales, Taylor, McGregor, Engels, Hatate, Kun, Kyogo and Maeda. As you say, Celtic with a few chances in the first half, Gordon. Kyogo, gilt-edged opportunity for him. At least hit a target. You know, Kyogo's so clinical there, but he just dragged it wide. And then Arne Engels, he has looked bright, Gordon. A few really nice touches. Clipped the inside of the post. Looked like it was going to be a dream full debut for the £11 million man. Perhaps it will be in the second half. We'll just have to wait and see. Engels standing over the ball now. We're about to get underway here at Parkhead in the second half.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get advice on keeping infections and viruses away when school returns.
Suppose performance level wise, Brendan Rodgers might not have too many complaints, Hugh, but just about finding that finishing touch.
And if those who are on the park can't find it, then he turns to Adam Ida or Louis Palma or Paulo Bernardo or James E. Forrest. So that's the story, I think. If Celtic haven't scored by the hour mark, I think change will be on Brendan Rodgers' mind.
Can I honestly just give you an insight into what I'm dealing with in here? Gordon Dale's flapping, pointing at his headphones and complaining that he's got music.
What does music mean?
Yeah, it's the same music that we play at the start of every first half and every second half. You'll have heard it. That one?
Yeah. That's new to me.
It's literally on every single show.
Played that every time I've been on here.
Not at all. I've never heard that.
What's wrong with this guy?
That's strange out from you.
Anyway, a couple of teams are making changes at the break. Jack Vale's come on for Davor Zdorovsky for Motherwell. He was booked, so maybe again a nod to that. It's more of an attacking change as well to try and get Motherwell back into it. You'd imagine Lennon Miller then drops in. Sits a bit deeper. James Scott on for Toyosi Olusanya for St Mirren. I wonder, I would love to have seen Derek McInnes' half-time team talk. Maybe he feels hard done by, so maybe he feels there's a sense of injustice. But that is Kilmarnock's fourth red card in their last five domestic games. Okay. My understanding is he has told the players prior to today, in no uncertain terms, that can't go on. And yet Joe Wright has been sent off.
And you tell us that he was having a heated, looked like a heated discussion with the referee before the game as well. Maybe about another incident. So he's obviously warned his players, but for them to continually make the same mistakes, you know, you're cutting your own throat in those situations, and it's an uphill battle for them.
Well, Joe Wright is responsible for two of those red cards, and to be sent off twice midway through the month of September. You know, that's down to the player. The club don't have a leg to stand on. If the manager's telling them this must stop and it doesn't, then the manager has to take action.
Again, Gordon, there is a possibility that Derek McInnes, his take on it is actually that it's a disgraceful decision and it should never have been a red, and I absolve my player of blame. So you leave that open.
Yeah, well, just
for now, I guess. But overall, that stat is terrible.
Yeah, and it puts you under severe pressure, especially when you're sitting down the bottom of the league, Gordon. You're looking for a victory. You're 2-1 behind, away from home, and you feel that your players let you down. But we don't know the circumstances. Derek may come out at the end of the game and say, "Look, I'm going to protect my player here. I'm going to back my player," or he may just come out and have a real rant about it.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. And what damage will the numerical disadvantage have? St Mirren obviously in control of that one anyway. Celtic back out looking to try and score early, try and put their foot to the floor in a way that they couldn't really in the first half. Celtic are now asking for a handball penalty. So Hearts got one. It was overturned. And Celtic are now asking for one. It looked quite similar-ish distance. Ref has given a corner. It was a cross that's blocked, but it is in the hands of VAR currently, so maybe we're going to get a different outcome here.
I just wondered, you know, the one in the first half, we were chatting about it just off air. I wonder what the rush was for the referee to give that. Do referees get marked down if, say, he left that and VAR said in his ear, you need to come and have a look at this, and then he made his decision?
Well, yeah, because that defeats the purpose. They're encouraged not to do that. We would all say, don't do that. Don't wait on VAR. You make a decision. We would all slag them for that, because then that's properly re-refereeing the game. You're supposed to make a decision.
Yeah, but one,
you can't just wait and see.
One like that, where how can he be certain of his decision when it is so close?
How can you ever? You know, it's just is what it is. Referee's going to the monitor on this one. The Celtic one. So Celtic perhaps about to get a handball penalty, which will be very interesting indeed. The referees had a couple of trips to the monitor.
What's Willie Collum doing on Monday night?
What's she doing at 5 o'clock?
Well, this could be the next clip that Willie Collum decides to show.
We thought we were going to solve the handball this season, didn't we?
But maybe we are. Maybe we are, though.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm thinking this is a penalty kick.
And again, you're never going to be able to get the exact replica anyway. So if it's a bit further away than the Scales and Shankland one, then it's further. You know, if it's further away, it's further away. Penalty given, by the way. So I'm sure Stephen Naismith will have something to say, but the penalty has been given and Celtic have a chance from 12 yards.
What an interesting afternoon for the ref.
Because he gives the first one and that gets overturned, but he doesn't give the second. So good luck to the conspiracy theorists trying to figure out who's responsible there. Good question.
Because O'Reilly used to take him, didn't he?
Well, he took some, but only after various other angles.
Oh, is gonna take like it. That. I applaud the young man.
Yeah.
Hatate's had some in the past. Then you go way back, further back, McGregor's had some and kind of passed it around a bit. But Arnie Ingles, £11 million man on his first start for Celtic, is going to take the penalty.
Big pressure on him.
How's that conversation going?
Oh yeah, the club's record signing. Young man, stand up.
Places through it. Just make Glasgow. Sure.
I would place it, Mark.
This is Glasgow.
I couldn't kick the ball hard. I placed
people
everything.
Will say £11 million. They couldn't take a penalty.
So couldn't score for 12 yards. That's what they say.
With M&D Green Pharmacy, just rolls it in. Arnie Ingles with his first goal in Scottish football on his first start, and it's Celtic 1 Hearts 0.
Big psychology from Brendan Rodgers there. Give it to the £11 million guy, and he has shown the temperament that you would love to think you're going to get for your £11 million. So what an interesting day. We said last night on Super Scoreboard, there's going to come along a big afternoon, and Willie Collum will again explain slowly, rationally, logically what happened there. Hearts don't get a penalty, Celtic do get one. So it's a big case in point for Willie to talk about at his next VAR review.
Anyway, Arnie Ingles, what an introduction, Mark.
You know, justifies his inclusion. It's always good for the manager, because question marks, do you leave out Bernardo? But Ingles has been bright by all accounts, hits the post earlier on, has the courage and the bottle to take the ball. We're hearing Hatate wanted it as well, but the captain had to step in and have a discussion with him, and Ingles tucks it away. Good start.
Yeah, we're hearing that. That's a big decision for the captain, isn't it? Hatate, I think, wanted to take it.
Oh.
And McGregor's had a word with him and obviously gave it to Ingles. And to be fair to the lad, he stuck it away.
What did they say? Listen, Rio, this guy's 11 million.
Yeah, we so need to get him the ball. Running here.
Give him the ball.
Do they not decide these things before the game?
Obviously.
Seems sensible.
You know, just hearing from Celtic Park, they don't. Because I think that Hatate wanted to take the penalty kick. And I think he's been overruled by the captain.
I agree with you, Gordon. I thought designated penalty takers were part of it all, but
you know what, it's not as if it's 3-0 Celtic and it's a meaningless penalty and just to get you up and running.
Yeah.
It's a crucial time of the game. It's a must score penalty, and they've decided to that he's a man to take it over.
Does Brendan Rodgers say to Callum McGregor, tell him no and give the ball to Ingles?
I don't know. I think the captain makes the decision on the pitch. I think if he does, right, we're only hearing, if he does, I think that's a big, big decision from McGregor. Fine, it's worked out brilliantly for them. But let me tell you now, if I'm Hatate and my captain's coming up and saying to me, I'm telling them where to go, I'm taking the penalty kick.
We had that yesterday, right, in the under 18 game. No penalty, a free kick. We've got two good players, good left footed players, and they both fancied themselves at set piece. So there was a wee discussion. We got a few free kicks. We discussion at the first one. The first boy took it. Magnificent effort. The goalie takes it. We get one in a similar position. The other boy grabs the ball. And the one that hit the first one was saying, well, hold on, I nearly scored. The goalie tipped over the bar. And they have a wee shirt pull at each other. So boys have to step in. No, I was even better. He hit the crossbar, the other one. I was praying we didn't get another one. Could have been a wrestling match between the two of them.
Right, let's do the teaser. We got distracted by a busy start to the second half. Are you ready, Hugh?
I am.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I have been managed by Harry Redknapp and Alec McLeish. I have played alongside John Spencer and John Terry. I have 14 caps for Scotland, but never played here in my club career. Who am I? Managed by Harry Redknapp and Alex McLeish. Played alongside John Spencer and John Terry. Have 14 caps for Scotland, but never played here in my club career.
Wow, what a question. On your marks, get set, go on that one. At Clyde SSB, you need to give me the correct name. You need to do it quicker than everyone else. Let's see what you can come up with. Even Gordon DL might struggle with that one.
Well, he's having a good think about it, and he's putting the jigsaw pieces together in the usual methodical manner. But I think you're right. I think this may be...
Never played in Scotland?
Nope. At club level.
But I got 14 caps?
Yep.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with here. I'm looking forward to at Clyde SSB. Get your guesses in and we'll see who is the winner. Looking for a top three, but as many of you to get it right as possible. David Friel, straight away, got it.
Oh,
bang.
I think it's easy.
David Friel has nailed it. Let's see. Gordon DL, he's got it as well. I think you've seen the paper. You don't even know who that guy is.
Yeah, I do.
Nah, you don't.
I could name a few clubs he played with.
Don't spoil it.
I was a John Spencer one and stuff like that. Remember, I used to go cycling with John. He would always talk about this.
No way. No way. You've got that.
Exactly.
There is not a chance.
He makes it too obvious. Genuinely, you've not heard of that guy.
100. No. But I can tell you where he played.
Nope, not interested.
Right, you want me to write the comps?
You know what, I'm more impressed that he spelled it correctly.
Exactly, sure, that, exactly.
So that only comes through visual learning, right. I think you've right. Saw that.
Let's leave it there. Let's leave it there, okay. We've got plenty to be getting
he's
on
writing
with.
The comps down.
Plenty
to justify.
The fact of the matter is the Dazzler is the least trusted man on Radio Clyde.
I think that's very unfair. Here's your three clues right away. Boom, see you later, lads. Three clues right away. Am I right in three clues? Tell you what, I should be on the chase.
Do you know what? I can tell that you're at it, because see, one of those clubs, it was a 10 game loan spell. There's no way
he knows his loan players. Or this guy,
he's way more famous for playing for other clubs. But anyway, we'll leave it there. At Clyde SSB.
I think he played for that club as well.
Yeah, because you've now looked him up.
My phone's sitting there. How can I look him up?
He loves that one. My phone's sitting there.
Is my phone's
in
there?
It's sitting there.
Thank you.
Doesn't mean you've not been on it.
God, anyway, you know I'm not playing again.
He says this every week. At Clyde SSB, if you want to have a go, let's see what you can come up with. Are you as good as Gordon DL and David Friel? Get your names over to us. We do have the breakthrough at Celtic Park. I'm sure we won't have heard the end of it. Celtic 1, Hearts 0. It was a penalty, a VAR assisted decision. Referee obviously makes the final decision. But he went back on one earlier on. Hearts thought they had a penalty for handball. That got overturned. And then Celtic got one in the second half. So there we go. It just always brings it into the spotlight when it's in the same game. Actually, if you're the ref, you should just be trying to make the decision in isolation. But to everybody else on the outside, you link the two of them.
I applaud the referee though, because he's gone and been untroubled by how it makes him look. He gave a penalty and then overturned his own decision, and he didn't give a penalty, then went over to a screen and decided he should have given a penalty.
That's true.
So I applaud him for doing that. He is the epitome of what Willie Colum is looking for, if VAR is to be trusted. But of course, no one will trust the decision, as we will find out in coming days.
Chance for Motherwell, but the header goes straight at Mitov. It's a decent save, but probably should have scored. Probably should be level, but as things stand, it is still Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0. James Scott has fired a volley right out the stand onto the runway at Glasgow Airport.
With everything that's happening there and the wind, how has David Friel managed to get that answer? He's got a lot on his plate, and he's pulled that out quicker than Gordon Dale.
Yeah, and he doesn't get questioned.
He's got knowledge.
I'm questioning him.
Oh, hold on a minute. I feel that is an insult to someone who stands here week in, week out, and gives you fine details.
Who also admitted last season that he was guilty of corruption when it came to.
Yeah, I did. So that shows.
At least he admitted it. The honesty.
Yeah, thank you. I held my hand up to the cheating.
Triple change for Motherwell. Gio Tavares comes on for his debut. Marvin Kaleta and Tony Watt on for Maswanisi, Stephen O'Donnell and Zach Robinson. So Motherwell looking for a way back into it. Morris on for Keskinen for Aberdeen. So they are, that's what every club in the planet shuffles their pack around this time, don't they? We've reached that magical 60 minute mark where things are freshened up.
Especially when you've got a squad like Motherwell, especially, it looked thin when they visited Rangers at Hampden because they were getting injury after injury, but Kettlewell's added a lot. So yeah, they've certainly got plenty of attack threat. Would you have expected Tony Watt to have started more games than not really?
He hadn't played much for Dundee United, had he? So just arrived and yeah. Team that's won their last three games. So no real drama. What's your question again, Hugh? Gordon obviously has got it, as we've heard, but let's do some wrong answers.
I have been managed by Harry Redknapp and Alex McLeish, played alongside John Spencer and John Terry. I have 14 caps for Scotland, but I never played here in my club career.
To be fair, it is hard.
GK Dave wants to ask if it's Don Hutchison.
You can ask, the answer's no.
And Banky Babe wants to go Paul Dickov.
A good old Banky Babe. But no, it's not Paul.
And Glasgow Cabby says the goalie, Neil Sullivan.
No, and no boundary charge either.
Neil Sullivan.
That's a great shout, by the way, Neil Sullivan.
Yep.
Okay, it's a wrong one, but it's good.
I wonder how many Scotland caps Neil Sullivan does have.
I think he's got more than 14,
isn't
so?
He? I would have thought as well. 28.
28.
He was the one that got done by Beckham, wasn't it?
Oh, for the halfway line?
Mm-hmm.
Right, where are we? Inverness have taken a 2-0 lead now at Alloa. Edinburgh City have taken the lead at Clyde. Your old pal struggling there.
Ian McCall's
team.
Is he? I've not even looked down there.
He survived in the last day, the final day of last season, and they're headed that way again unless they get their act together.
But they assembled a squad that some people fancy to give League 2 a real good go. It's just not happening in the Premiership.
Not an easy league, I know that.
Here he goes. Celtic 1, Hearts 0. Arnie Ingles scoring on his full debut from the penalty spot. Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0. Pap Gee's goal from earlier on. Hibs took the lead just before half time against St Johnstone. They still lead by a goal to nil. And it's St Mirren 2, 10 man Kilmarnock 1. Unsurprisingly, it's quietened down a bit that second half, because how could it have been as lively as the first? Impossible, Hugh.
Yeah. I look forward to hearing Derek McInnes at full time. Again, it's about disciplinary matters and the referee's interpretation of events and so on. But Joe Wright, very early in the season, has got form for this. It's his second ordering off of the season, a fledgling season. So, you know, Derek McInnes is an extremely honest man. He will be the first to tell you if it was a correct decision or not on the part of the referee. So I look forward to that post-match interview.
League One Player of the Month Ross Cunningham has scored for Kelty to equalise at home to Cove. So Kelty 1, Cove 1. Speaking of Player of the Month, were you surprised to learn yesterday that was Callum McGregor's first ever Player of the Month award?
Unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
I mean, bearing in mind he's won Player of the Year.
And the way he's performed year in, year out with Celtic, I am amazed with that. I've never guessed that.
Just shows you need to score goals to catch people's attention, doesn't it? That's kind of how it is. It's usually a guy that scored a few goals within the 1 month, and if you do it as a midfielder, even more impressive, and you get the nod.
Did you know that, Matt?
No, I was amazed at that as well. It shows how hard it is to actually win awards like that. You know, we just think it's easy because maybe we hear those players at the top end of the pitch win it a couple of times. You think of the quality players we've got throughout the country that never get near it. And he must have been top of the list before yesterday. So well deserved, though.
Even just the longevity bit of it, though, yeah. For how many games he's played here, how many months he's been in the.
I wouldn't have taken it. See, if I was him, I'd have went, I've played 500 games and this is my first one. Not a chance.
Who votes for this?
Who does vote for that, Gordon? Don't know yet. Okay.
I know who goes for that.
Oh, he's won.
He's in the party. Nah.
His face went all colours. No. Shh, move on.
They're a hard bunch to please.
Really good choice. Good choice this month. Alloa 1, Inverness 2. Connor Salmon with the goal. Elgin 0, Bonnie Rigg Rose 1. Callum Higginbottom. There's some proper experienced veteran goal scorers doing the rounds here. Connor Salmon and Callum Higginbottom.
He asked me for the pair of boots, remember, when he split them up at Tannadice. Callum Higginbottom was playing against him. Split my boots. Dundee United.
He broke his boots.
Aye.
And he was on the opposition.
Aye.
And he asked you for your boots.
No, he said, you've not split my boots. Yeah. I said, all right, okay. The ball was on the other side. He said, you've not got a spare pair. Yeah. I said, no, but that's one of your own team.
That's poor from you.
I ran with two pair of boots, really, for the full season.
I don't know MD runs with. Oh, right, okay. I'm studs and moulds.
Studs and moulds.
Huh? Yeah.
Martin Boyle and Josh Campbell on Nicky Cadden. And Rudy Molotnikov off for Hibs. Forrest and Bernardo on. Kuhn and Hatate off. So not Ingles. Kuhn and Hatate off. Forrest and Bernardo on.
Well, I thought that might happen because 1-0, even the game's not over. Not by a long chalk, as Dazzler always says. A lot of football to be played. And Bernardo maybe smarting because he didn't get a start and Ingles did. But now's his chance to make a cameo appearance of some note. And James Forrest, of course, the presentation of the 500 jersey before the game. Wouldn't he love to mark game 501 with a goal? But for Hearts, they're not done and dusted yet. They're still fight in them. And Celtic haven't finished this game in any way, shape or form.
I think that's a positive you take out of it if you're Stephen Naismith. That your side hasn't just rolled over and collapsed. Often teams do when they go one down early into the second half, but they are still fighting, so the job's not done for Celtic. But you just look at that quality that Brendan Rodgers has to bring off the bench and actually impact the game for the last half hour. It's a great depth he's got there. And for Forrest, 501st appearance,
that's incredible.
For a club the size of Celtic, not many will ever eclipse that after this.
I would have thought actually that Adam Eda might have been due a run out here.
I know, it just went very quiet for him, eh?
Yeah, I mean, Kyogo, as I say, this is not to suggest that Kyogo has lost the plot, but he missed a sitter against Rangers, he's missed a sitter today against Hearts, and Eda is there, all £9 million.
I'm sure we'll see him at some point. Still 25 to go, so we'll wait and see if he comes on. Celtic are leading by that goal to nil, that Arnie Ingles penalty. Another quick reminder of your teaser, please, Hugh. People are getting close.
I've been managed by Ari Redknapp and Alec McLeish. I have played alongside John Spencer and John Terry. I have 14 caps for Scotland, but never played here in my club career. Who am I?
Derek Roden thinks it could be Jordan Rhodes.
Oh, no.
No, okay. Keep the guesses coming then at Clyde SSB.
Jordan Rhodes still playing down south?
Is he in Blackpool?
Certainly was last season. I think he probably still is.
I'm going Blackpool, there you go.
Well, that's where he was last season, yeah.
He used to be one that just popped up every international break as a point of discussion that he should be in. He was the one that everyone went to.
He was a good goal scorer.
He was. A few caps, though, didn't he? Funnily enough, he got 14, but it's not him on the teaser.
Good comeback from Alloa.
Alloa 2, Inverness 2. Game of the day, who would have thought it? Luke Donnelly with the equaliser there. Great block, Nicky Devlin, to deny your Tavares. So Motherwell looking for that equaliser.
Sounds well, a decent game, that one up there. Dave's got two teams on form. Rung the changes. I think we might get an equaliser.
Do you?
Yep. Motherwell usually like going there, do they?
You would take a point away from there.
Yeah, up and down. Yeah, they've had some impressive results there in recent seasons. I think you're right to point out. Much quieter second half in Paisley, as we said. It, probably not surprising. Couldn't possibly be as chaotic as the first. Kelly down to 10 men, 2-1 to St Mirren. There's another Scottish striker scoring goals.
Ryan Hardy,
penalty. Plymouth 2, Sunderland 1. That would be a surprise result there, wouldn't it?
Is that Wayne Rooney's one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Start to the season.
He karaoke song gets everything going. Hugh.
Yeah.
You join in with the supporters. Get your karaoke number out there. Victory the next week.
Airdrie 0, Falkirk 1, Dillon Tate on 72 minutes. These two sides familiar with each other over the last couple of seasons. And Dillon Tate has made it 1-0 to the visitors. They are still going very well, Falkirk.
They are flying. Unstoppable at the minute.
John McGlynn, manager of the month, isn't he? So, deservedly so.
Is Ayr still in the derby? That's my derby. Played with both.
Stranraer 2, East Fife 1. Nothing much happening at Easter Road. Hibs are still better. They're on top. They're in front as well. So it's going to take a bit of a swing in that one to see the result change. Kuharevic, a couple of half chances off target. Still that goal just before the break separating the sides.
Very Hibsy though, that, by the sounds, yeah. Maybe. Just in top.
Oh, there you are. Partick Thistle have equalised. Ayr 1, Partick Thistle 1, Harry Milne.
I don't like any of them. They won.
Nah, draw suits everyone. Oh, good equaliser, well timed.
You know it's not up to you two. It's up to your esteemed colleagues on a Monday night. But in theory, you would imagine that Ross County result's going to be featuring in the result of the weekend discussion if it stays that way. 2-0 up against Aberdeen. Dundee.
They're just in such a poor place, with one horrible result after another. And yeah, Tony Docherty, I'd like to hear his explanation of events, because I thought that Dundee, even minus Luke McCowan at Celtic now, you've got to have enough to get something against Ross County.
Oh, the 10 men.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
What a game. What a game in Paisley. Corey and Daba had gone close from long range, and then an equaliser. It was a corner. Again, it looked like Marley Watkins. He might have a double, having barely touched the ball in front of goal, but it looks like he gets the final touch again. And it's St Mirren 2, 10 man Kilmarnock 2.
Fair play.
What a game, the wind. What a game.
Yeah, fair play to them. Stephen Robinson must be disgusted. Now, if the 10 men win 3-2, that will take care of Monday night's result of the weekend.
To show that shocks happen or can be on their way to happening. Liverpool 0, Nottingham Forest 1. Oh. 72 minutes gone there. Ida is on now for Keogh.
I thought it was time for him. The supporters, I think of Adam Ida based on what he did in the back half of last season. They think of him as some sort of good luck charm. But it goes beyond good luck charms when you're paid £9 million to get him to the club. So Celtic are looking for a return for their money from Adam Ida, and this is his kind of territory. Last quarter of the game, 1-0 Celtic, but nothing decided yet. This is kind of Ida territory.
It might be a Iunga own goal. Doesn't really matter, I don't think. If you're Derek McInnes, you're just delighted. And now though, Mark, what does that look like if you're Kelly? Is that a sitting in job for 20 minutes? It's going to be tough.
Well, they've got experience. Remember a European game where they scored early on and they sat in and they defended very well. I think it's going to be like that today. We already touched on St Mirren, how good they've been going forward this season and the goals that they score. So you'd expect them to turn the screw on Kelly, but with that goal, the old Aka is up. That could be two in
He's
a row
looking good.
For
He's
Wilson
not,
yeah. this season.
Impressive form, I have to say. Early
I just
on
know
season.
My stuff.
He's looking good. He's looking
stuff.
Good.
Wish I could gamble to put money on stuff like that.
Dave Galloway, a BA on for Halliday, who is roundly booed by the home fans, apparently.
Is that right?
Poor Andy.
Hansby's got booed.
Just a figure of fun everywhere he goes.
Last game he was magnificent.
No, the home fans.
Oh, the home fans, sorry. I thought it was
the Motherwell fans. Now that would be a name.
They might be booing him as well, for what it's worth. But no, the home fans,
just means he's well known. Well liked throughout the game.
He all just gets booed, doesn't he? But he gets in the house at night.
Misses boo.
He's missing everybody's centre.
Right. Where are we? Kevin Van Veen on now. That would be a story, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Went to Killy last season, didn't really do much. If he was to pop up with the winner.
You don't want to be tagged with one season wonder, do you? And Kevin Van Veen is sort of a... He's had one great season at Motherwell, let's be honest. And he was brilliant, taking nothing away from him. But he came to Kamarnock, disappointed. Probably argues the fact that he didn't get a lot of game time.
He's also 33, so it's...
What does that mean?
It's hard to... When you have your one good season at Motherwell, you're then running out of time to have more good seasons. After that, you just wonder if that was the high point.
That was it. Yeah,
well, I thought within that, even at the start, I think me and you were at a game, and I think I said I wouldn't enjoy playing with him. I know he had sparkling moments. He was brilliant. He scored crucial goals. Not a player that I think you could take
a selfish player. Is that what you're trying to say?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
It's interesting though, because if it stays that way and that one season's an outlier, I can understand the allegation, but having watched it closely, there was nothing lucky about it. He was unbelievably good. See, if you look at the variety of goals, and even his all round play, it was a joy for that season. And yeah, he's struggled really to do it since. But you never know. This could be the kickstart he's on for the last 20 or so, booed by the Killy fans.
It's a bit harsh, didn't he? He didn't really do anything, did he? Bad.
I'm surprised they recognise him.
Dave Galloway says the Aberdeen fans are winning tackles and punching the air with delight.
Oh, the red shed.
Never sure how I feel about that.
Red shed.
I think if it's proper last minute of the game, last ditch.
Yeah.
It's becoming a bit overdone, isn't it?
Oh no, celebrating tackles, yeah, without doubt. I was just going to touch on Aberdeen. It seems like they are buying in the clubs all together.
Oh.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Hibs 2, St Johnston 0, and it's Martin Boyle. You would imagine that will be that. Yes, they have a reputation for chucking things away, but you've seen this movie before. It's his pace that takes him clean through. It's a lovely finish, just lifts the ball over the keeper, and Hibs are 2-0 up against St Johnston.
Well, earlier in the week, St Johnston announced that they'll be cutting the allocation of tickets for Rangers and Celtic fans at McDermott Park. Want to grow their own support. Well, they need to grow a team first to justify taking away seats for other people. So that's a poor result for them. I mean, their Hibs are done and dusted, I would think. We can't, even Hibs can't Hibs it to that extent. So it's for St Johnston to think about now.
Airdrie 0, Falkirk 2, Sean Mackey. What a season they're having in the Championship. Duffy? Did he tip them on here as back to back promotions?
He did.
They are going well. They really are. What about your teaser again, Hugh?
Okay, I have been managed by Harry Redknapp and Alex McLeish. I have played alongside John Spencer and John Terry. I have 14 caps for Scotland, but never played here in my club career. Who am I?
Absolutely no chance I'm falling for this Twitter name, but they say Dominic Matteo.
No.
Or Matteo, and yeah, I think that's pretty much most of the wrong answers. Yeah, look at the Twitter name on this. No chance I was reading that out. You'll never have heard of that, to be fair, Gordon, what that word is.
Because
one day I'm going to just read it quickly.
I love that. I hope you get done with that one day.
To be fair, a lot of people love that.
You're a big fan.
Oh dear.
You could have a chuckle on a Saturday afternoon.
Livingston 2, Hamilton Accies 0, Robbie Muirhead on 81 minutes. Livy going okay, aren't they?
I know we've spoke about them, but I think they are going under the radar. Because there's some of the other sides in there, and everybody just assumes Dave Martindale, he's lost his squad. He's not. He's right in there with a shout. And if that result stays the same between Ayr and Partick, obviously Falkirk then go top.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Aberdeen probably wrapped that one up now, 2-0 up against Motherwell, and it's Pap Gee again, nods in from a couple of yards. What a season he's having. Remember, sent away on loan, looked like it was all over. Managers often talk about this clean slate when they take over, and it sometimes is a lot of nonsense and players don't come back from that far out of the team. But what an impact he's had. Scored a double today, a double earlier on this season as well, and Aberdeen 2 Motherwell 0.
And what an impact the manager has had, Jimmy Thielen. He will, if Hearts do lose to Celtic, and it's by no means a foregone conclusion that game yet, but if the Hearts do lose and Aberdeen win, that's a 14 point gap between Aberdeen and Hearts, which might already have tied up who finishes third. The question is, will Hearts be the one that finishes, Aberdeen be the one that finishes third, or will Aberdeen split Celtic and Rangers at the top?
Well, it's not going Hearts' way, and a bit of an issue. Benny Beningame, who cannot get any breaks with fitness. I saw some eyebrows raised that he was pitched back in today, and he went off injured a few moments ago. Now another double change for Celtic. Luis Palma on for Daizen Maeda, and Luke McCowan on for Arnie Ingles.
Palma's one you forget about sometimes. Yeah. You know, all the new players coming in and the spotlight goes in those, and you just totally forget about him.
How do you interpret that? Do you interpret it as Brendan Rodgers can't get a second goal out of this team and he's trying to tweak this, tweak that, see if he can get it, or is it just simply utilising?
I think he'll have his bench.
Celtic make four or five changes every single week and have done for years. It's commonplace now, yeah, because like you can make the five. Yeah, every team does it.
They're not behind. They've not lost a goal this season. They'll be confident to try and keep an air clean sheet. And it's not really bad players they're bringing on, is it?
I'm not suggesting for a minute.
Alan Forrest is now on as well. So the
brother,
brother.
Forrest twins.
Forrest twins.
Quite something, your £11 million record signing replaced by a boy for Greenock.
That's the beauty of deadline day, isn't it, I suppose? Yeah, you're right, Luke McCowan on. There's been a lot made about his delight at being there, but I'm sure he's fully focused on trying to actually have a positive contribution and not make it all about the fairy tale.
But still work to be done by Celtic. You know, 1-0, no guarantees and that.
Yeah, it always leaves the door open, doesn't it, Mark? Because if you were a betting man, you can't really see a Hearts goal. They would need to get near Kasper Schmeichel first, but it doesn't take that much. You know, it could be the old, whatever it is, a mistake, a set piece, something from distance.
Well, been on that pitch many times, and that scoreline being the case, going into the last 10 minutes, I was always nervy, being part of the back four, that there could just be a slip or, you know, one punt up the pitch and you get undone, or a set piece. You're always a bit nervy. That's how you're hoping that some of these guys, these guys that earn the bigger wages than you at the back, pop up and get a second or a third to ease the pressure. So it's still in the balance at the minute. Brendan Rodgers certainly would.
Would you fancy Hearts
for a second?
Would you rule it out?
Yeah,
you would rule it out.
Yeah,
right. It's not impossible.
No, I didn't say it. Nothing's impossible in life, Mark. But I don't fancy Hearts scoring.
It's just had a chance.
Yeah, but a chance is a
chance. Nothing's impossible in life.
Yeah,
Blair Spittle's ball in, Boateng slides, but Kasper Schmeichel makes the save.
A bit flying.
An aeroplane flies?
No, you. As a human.
Did I see his skydive?
I was flying.
He's like
220.
Like a stone.
220.
Buzz Lightyear, eat your heart out.
Horse break coming.
That's
out.
Right, Buzz Lightyear. Remember
my goodness.
Send in a picture of you looking like Buzz Lightyear.
I was scary. That I couldn't breathe. I was going that quick.
No, changed the colour of your hair as well, didn't it? Because you were dark brown.
Yeah, more in my hair.
That double change for Hearts, by the way, when Forrest came on, was Spittle and Forrest for Penrith and Shankland. So Lauren Shankland off for Hearts,
and still not a goal this season for Lauren Shankland.
Yeah.
Do you know that will be preying in his mind?
Yeah.
As much as We all know how good a striker he is. When you start a new season, especially after the season you've had, the most important thing is get the first goal. But unfortunately, it's not came around yet. But plenty of time, and he is a quality striker.
You need your teammates though within that, don't you? If you're a striker, you must have relied heavily on your teammates creating for you.
I was a bit individual, Mark, if I've got to be honest.
I don't think you were. You didn't have that ability. You did not have that. Shanklin's got it in bits and pieces, but he still needs better service from, well, Spittle, Danda, you know, you look at Varga, you look at the guys around about him, Mackay as well, when he's been involved. He's had many chances created for him in the opening five games.
Only had one. I mean, this is sort of blown out of the water because he scored in his first, scored in his first league game last season, but he only had one league goal until the 22nd of October last season.
Oh, well.
He scored on the opening day. And again, look, I'm being a bit selective with the stat because he got a couple in Europe when Hearts played the qualifiers in that time. But it's still true. He was on one league goal until the 22nd of October last season. So still time. St Mirren are now pushing Kilmarnock are tiring. Inevitable, I guess. Because for long spells there, it didn't look like Killy were the team with 10 men. But is it hard to keep that up, obviously?
Well, it's just human nature. You look at the clock or you get a sense of where the game is and you just retreat to your 18-yard box. Hard to hold out, though. If you leave it too long, you're holding on. But the one thing about a Kilmarnock team, they are well-drilled defensively. Usually, Derek McInnes' Aberdeen teams were the same. You know, play really compact when they don't have possession. So that will go in their favour. But like we say, St Mirren have got attacking players that can create a goal out of nothing.
Kelty 1, Cove Rangers 2. You got vested interest in that game.
Yeah,
you seem very disappointed when the Cove goal went in.
I'm really
pulled
disappointed
the seat up
because
there, didn't he, and sat down.
You're a big Scott Allen fan.
Yeah, I love a Friday night show. I think right. It's the best show of the week. Just listening to Scott and okay. Hugh last night, oh, it was brilliant.
So you're devastated, that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what they were talking about, but it would be brilliant.
I just wondered. Fraser Murray on for Matty Kennedy, who's been brilliant for Kilmarnock. We've got a goal at Pittodrie.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Moses Ebiye is the specialist in scoring late. He's done it again, and still time to make this a bit nervy. That is 2-1 now to Aberdeen with time left. It was a ball drilled across the face of goal. Moses Ebiye off the bench provides the finish, and now we've got an exciting conclusion on our hands.
What happened to all those Aberdeen defenders who were high-fiving each other 5 minutes ago? Are they apologising to the crowd now? So as you say, nervy end there, nervy end at Celtic Park. Hibs are two up and they're coasting, and a nervy end at the Smyzer as well. So nothing's done and dusted apart from Easter Road.
Ross County done and dusted,
yeah.
Happy with that, Hugh? 3 points in the bag.
Oh, the black ale salutes them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting into that one. Just 88 minutes, I think, on the clock when the goal went in, Mark.
Yeah, certainly will be. It gives yourself a chance, but maybe just a wee bit too late.
The games are now 95, yeah. 96, 97 minutes.
Sunday,
long.
Monday.
Yeah.
VAR, listen, plenty of time.
When was Moses Abiyah's winner against St Johnston last game? 98, I think, something like that. 10 minutes left then if he gets that length of time at it.
Ian McCall heard you talking about Clyde, the equalised.
Yeah, Jordan Allen, a 90th minute penalty.
Whoa.
Clyde 1, Edinburgh City 1.
I'll need to get Colley on Byers Road, give him a few hints and tips and
How's he doing? I like Colley.
Absolutely brilliant. Brand new.
Get you and his kit man.
Yeah.
That's the inspiration that they need.
Chief exec, I think, maybe.
Kit man.
You've promoted yourself all the way there. Kit man to chief exec.
Rangers are looking for one.
Yeah.
A popular choice.
Oh, yeah. Where would you hold that press conference?
As you said, there can be an inevitability about it. You know, Hearts now look like they fancy it, because why wouldn't you?
They've
not really attacked all game, but you can do that. Any team can do that, Mark. And the Celtic are getting a bit deeper and it just starts to set in,
well,
doesn't it?
Where it becomes difficult. You know, if you're a Celtic defender, you've not had much to deal with all afternoon. All of a sudden, when you're a wee bit leggy, you know, from actually attacking, and things are getting thrown at you. can become but dangerous.
I think Celtic become dangerous when they start sitting a bit deeper. We've seen it against Rangers in opening 15 minutes.
How's your prediction looking? You said that Hearts couldn't score.
They'll not score.
Right.
Absolutely okay. Not a chance.
Okay.
You're saying that.
Have they scored?
No.
All right.
Goal at Celtic Park.
Pharmacy.
Celtic 2 Hearts now. Luke McCowan, edge of the box, and it's Celtic's 2 deadline day midfield signings who get the job done. Hits the post and in. Keeper can't keep it out. Celtic 2 Hearts nil.
There's your romantic story. The first goal scored by the club's record signing, and the second one scored by a boy from Greenock who would have paid Celtic £1 million to play for them, but instead they paid Dundee £1 million to get him. That's romance, folks.
That's a problem when you're playing against a Celtic team just now. And I was trying to talk then, obviously, the score. When Hearts open up and think, right, we're going for a goal here. We've seen it with Celtic. They'll sit deep, let them come in, and all of a sudden you get cut open.
I don't know, but
game, set and match.
I would like to have seen Luke McCowan's goal celebration.
I'm sure he enjoyed it. 5 minutes to be added for Motherwell to try and find that equaliser. They've pulled one back, 5 added at Pittodrie. Corey and Daba down with cramp for Killian, off he goes. That pool routine this morning must not have.
I'm going up there next week to see if he's in.
But maybe he would have only lasted 70.
Exactly.
The that's the way you think about it.
Yeah.
If you're Derek McInnes, though, you're reasonably happy with the point.
You'd be delighted.
10 men.
Yeah.
For the majority of the match.
Moses Abiye curls another one, and it's not far away. Motherwell having a good go here.
All over him.
It's that new strip. Can't wait to see you in it next week.
Oh, beautiful.
You wear it in here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave Galloway almost regurgitated his burger there.
Cancelling his 10 past 11 bus home from the Granite City tonight.
Palace 2, Leicester 2. There are goals going in late. I like it when late drama happens anywhere. You look at that. Annan 1, Dumbarton 1, 92nd minute as well. Elgin City have won it in the 95th against Bonnie Riggin. I'm sorry to tell you, Gordon, whatever your vested interest you had in Kelty,
gonna beat.
It's 3-1 to Cove Rangers.
See, never
West Ham have scored in the 95th minute.
What
is happening here?
Who are they playing?
Fulham.
Alright, okay.
Airdrie 0, Falkirk 2 is a full time score. Well done to Falkirk. Really impressive start to the season. A Motherwell corner right at the end to try and do something. 4 added in Paisley. I'm feeling a bit nervous about
it. It's been a great weekend of football, and it will continue tomorrow. Looking forward to all the games tomorrow as well. I just think that we've got goals, we've got excitement, and we've got talking
points. Well, the game at Tannadice tomorrow has now been given.
Oh! Goal flashes.
Gosh.
With M&D Green Pharmacy.
St Mirren 3, Kilmarnock 2, and it's James Scott thrown on at half time. Ball from the corner falls to him, volleys it in. Paisley erupts, and St Mirren have beaten 10 man Kilmarnock 3-2. You would have to imagine. And how's this for another
goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Celtic 3 Hearts nil, and it's Adam Ida. 3 now of Celtic's summer signings. He only kind of counts because he was here last season.
Yeah.
But Adam Ida makes it 3 and puts the cherry on top. What a game in Paisley, though.
Yeah, Derek McInnes will be beside himself.
VAR check on that goal.
Stephen Robinson will be beside himself.
I'm loving this.
He's going to the screen. He's going to the monitor.
Where's our producer that was celebrating a minute ago?
I have to admit, the producer today, I did not know this guy was a St Mirren fan. I just saw him, I have no idea, but he was punching there a minute ago.
I didn't even know he was a producer.
Let's see.
I thought he was just
no in. Goal. Goal no doubt. He's got his head in his hand. The drama.
Derek McInnes's
two.
Reign goes on.
Two.
I'll tell you what. How good is your next VAR review with Willie Collum going to be?
Because it could be long. This is week one.
Yeah. And what a day.
Let's see if he does another one. He promised he would. Alright, I think we've got VAR on Adam Ida's goal as well.
Who cares?
Damn squib.
Benjamin Kimpioka sent off for St Johnstone. Oh, it's no goal. So no goal for Adam Ida. That's been ruled out for offside. So it's Celtic 2, Hearts 0.
Well, there's no point in the Celtic fans saying, oh, this is bias or whatever, because the referee has not given Hearts a penalty and then gave Celtic a penalty when he originally didn't think there was a penalty.
Ingles, man of the match at Celtic Park.
Sounds well deserved, you would think. Lively first half, capped by a goal. Second,
his full debut.
It's always going to happen, wasn't it? When he scored. Always going to happen.
Sponsors want them up.
Yeah, exactly. Get an £11 million player up.
But, you know, take away all the VAR drama, the bottom line here is that Celtic and Aberdeen go away Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's looking that way. As things stand,
it is looking that way.
Jeremy Vine used to say
Kilmarnock and St Johnstone are the bad boys of the league. That's the third game in a row St Johnstone have had a man sent off.
Hoodlums.
And I think is Sidibe's suspension still ongoing? So that'll be Sidibe and Kimpioka. It is full time at Pittodrie. Dave Galloway.
Full time, Aberdeen 2, Motherwell 1. You can hear the atmosphere and the noise of the crowd of 17,155. Great attendance. Really good game. A tight first half, keenly contested. Aberdeen started brightly and early penalty claims were turned down. Topi Keskinen's cross appeared to hit Motherwell hand. Jamie McGrath went close with a turn and shot, which went inches wide after linking with Keskinen. But the visitors were trying to get forward. They had a high press. And Andy Halliday shot wide from outside the box. 26 minutes gone and the Dons went ahead with a brilliant goal. Papi Gay, brilliant burst of speed down the left and he cut inside to blast the ball in off the post. The home side carried early second half pressure. Slobodan Rubicic rose well for a corner but couldn't get his header on target and he had his head in his hands afterwards. But there was a golden chance missed at the other end when Tony Watt, who was only just off the bench, headed straight at Dimitar Mitov. Goalkeeper Aston Oxborough had to look very lively to turn Ante Palaverse's low drive behind after a set piece. Ger Tavares was proving to be a handful for the Aberdeen defence, curling one wide after a neat attacking move. Then, when he looked certain to score, Nicky Devlin made a fantastic block. It was 2-0 to the hosts after 80 minutes, though lovely skills on the right-hand side by Shaden Morris. He crossed for Devlin, whose effort was parried up in the air by Oxborough, and Papi Gay nodded in from just a yard or two out. But the deficit was cut on 88. The ball drilled across the face of goal, and Moses Ebie was in the right place at the right time to tap in from close range. That set up a pretty nervous finish, and Ebie curled a shot just wide, and after a corner by Liam Gordon, Liam Gordon's header was turned behind by Dimitar Mitov. A very entertaining encounter over the piece. The Steelmen deserve an awful lot of credit for really having a go, but Aberdeen get the job done to make it 10 wins in a row. Aberdeen 2, Motherwell 1.
One of the most incident-packed games we'll have all season, even though it's only September, is finished in Paisley. Here's David Friel.
Yeah, it's finished, Gordon. What a game. St Mirren 2, Kilmarnock 2. What a game. What a heroic effort from 10-man Kelly to fight back and secure a draw. It was late drama here. St Mirren's James Scott, he thought he'd won it in injury time. He volleyed in, he took the claim, but it was ruled out after a VAR check. One of three VAR checks, I think, at last count, on an unbelievable afternoon. I said before the game, Derek McKenna said he'd only lost one of his 32 league games as a manager against St Mirren coming out of this one. He kept that brilliant on going just about, and this draw will probably be sweeter than most of these wins given the circumstances. Another Kelly red card, Joe Wright, Kelly's fourth red card in the last five domestic games. That put them up against it, but they dug in, and Jonah Ayunga's own goal ultimately secured the point. St Mirren took the lead in just 7 minutes. Jaden Brown crossing left, Toyosi Olasanya being in great form, he scored with a diving header, but Kelly were level on 11 minutes. Liam Polis, clever corner, picked out Danny Armstrong, edge of the box, first time shot, it was diverted in by Marley Watkins. St Mirren striker Mikael Mandron was lucky to avoid a red card, he was then subbed in 20 minutes for his own good. Kelly chased a second goal, they were really good, but St Mirren got it from the penalty spots in 41 minutes after a VAR check showed Joe Wright had handled Sean Rooney's shot. Mark O'Hara scored that, but there was more drama in first half injury time. Kilmarnock's Joe Wright was sent off after a clash with Rooney after yet another VAR check. Kelly were up against it in the second half, St Mirren did have half chances, but Derek McInnesy said what an incredible shift they put in, and they got their rewards with equaliser on 71 minutes. Matty Kennedy's corner caused chaos in St Mirren box. Watkins was mobbed, his teammates as the ball went into the net, but it does go down as a Jonah Ayunga own goal. St Mirren came again in the closing stages, he piled on the pressure, they got a corner, it fell to James Scott, he volleyed in, he thought he'd won it, but Matthew McDermott was sent to the screen again, and this time Marcus Fraser's high boot saw the goal ruled out. Both sides going off just now. What a game, what an advert for Scottish football. Full time, St Mirren 2, Kilmarnock 2.
What a game, a share of the spoils. What about Easter Road, Fraser Wishart?
Yeah, comfortable win for Hibs in the end. Hibernian 2, St Johnston 0. St Johnston were a bit unlucky to be behind at the break. Hibs are a bit flat in the first half, but ahead through a scrappy stoppage time goal by Kuarevic. Better performance in the second half for the home side. Martin Boyle on the sub sealed it with a good finish, but St Johnston, I think, will be wondering how they were behind at this 45 minute break, because they've been able to talk about in the first 45. Hibs threw that stoppage time goal by Kuarevic. He bundled a Triantis knockdown into net from a couple of yards, but apart from that, neither side really threatened the other's goal. St Johnston the better side, no cutting edge. Hibs fans looking for better in the second half, even if their team were ahead. Hoylett came on for Yuan at the break, and then Boyle came on about 15 minutes later, and they both made a big difference. Hibs a bit more lively in the second half. 59th minute, Ross Sinclair had to make a good block from Rudy Malotnikov's powerful shot. That was his first save of the game. Kuarevic then was free 8 yards out, lovely cross to the right hand side by Cadden. The big striker headed over, he just had his hands, he knows he should have done better as Hibs completely dominated the game. He then, Kuarevic then shot over when he made a yard in the box, thought he should have hit the target, but it was 2-0 in 73 minutes. Chris Cadden, a lovely pass, he slid the ball inside the fullback Andre Raymond. Boyle's pace burst past Cameron, and he could have squared the ball to Kuarevic beside the winger to go himself. Lovely finish, just lifted the ball over Sinclair into the net. In 89 minutes, still time for Kimpioka, the big striker for St Johnston. He was involved in everything with the two centre-backs throughout the game. He got warned by Nick Walsh, and then he was red-carded for a needless late tackle on Obita at the corner flag. VAR checked it and confirmed the red card. That's 3 games in a row St Johnston have had a player sent off. This might just be the result Hibs need to get their season going. The fans will know it wasn't at their best, it wasn't a classic, but they'll go home happy, the Hibs fans, knowing they've got 3 points in the bag nonetheless. Full time at Easter Road, Hibernian 2, St Johnston 0.
We are 3 points, much needed. What about Celtic Park then, Gabriel?
Yes, it's all over here, Gordon. After 100 minutes, Celtic maintained their perfect start to the season with a 2-0 victory over Hearts. It was far from easy for the champions, who have their two deadline day signings to thank for the 3 points. Midfielders Arne Engels and Luke McCowan with the second half goals. The Celtic moved to 15 points at the top of the table. Hearts will be aggrieved about two penalty decisions going against them. They didn't create enough going forward, and Celtic did dominate the game to say they were worthy winners. And a club record signing, Engels nearly got his full debut off to a dream start early on. He hit the inside of the post after about 20 minutes. It was a sign of things to come. Hearts rarely got out of their half until about 35 minutes in. They were awarded a penalty. The referee Colin Stephen pointed to the spot after a Lawrence Shanklin header hit Liam Scales' arm. However, after plenty of time consulting with the VAR and then the monitor, Stephen deemed that Scales was too close to Shankland and reversed his decision. Now keep that in mind for what happened next. The second half began and Celtic claimed for a penalty themselves after Nicholas Kuhn's cross struck James Penrice's arm. The referee this time said no penalty, but he was sent to the monitor to possibly change his decision. Now keep in mind it was a different incident. It was further away than the reverse one for Hearts in the first half, but it was still a surprise to see him change his mind and point to the spot, given that the two incidents were happening in the same game. Stephen Naismith, not happy at all, but Engels was the man to benefit. He rolled his penalty in to the right hand of the goal. Reo Hatate wanted to take it, but after a discussion with captain Callum McGregor, the ball was handed to the £11 million man, who looked confident and assured. Now Celtic had all of the ball after that, but they couldn't get a second to see the game out, and Hearts did grow into the game. Inevitably, things got a little bit nervy, Gordon, until a raft of substitutes that included Luke McCowan came on. And what a story it is for the Greenock boy. On his full debut, he scored for his boyhood club. Stuff of dreams, really. You could see it in his face when he was celebrating with the fans here. Craig Gordon couldn't keep his strikeout from the edge of the box. Adam Edo came on as well. Thought he made it three, but it was eventually ruled out for offside. Not that it mattered for the champions. A tough game, but they were worthy winners. Hearts are rock bottom with a solitary point. 7 losses in a row. The heat is really on Stephen Naismith at the moment, while Celtic's flawless start to the season continues. They are top of the league. They've not conceded a goal yet. They are 8 points above Rangers, who play tomorrow. They now turn their attention to the Champions League. They face Slovan Bratislava here on Wednesday, hoping to finally make their mark in Europe. Full time here, Celtic 2, Hearts 0.
Okay, 01419511025. Get your calls in right now. What did you make of today's action? What are you thinking about tomorrow? John Bennett stepped down as Rangers chairman. There's a lot going on. So get your calls in right now. And whilst you do, we've still to announce the winner of this, Hugh Keevans.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I have been managed by Harry Redknapp and Alex McLeish. I have played alongside John Spencer and John Terry. I have 14 caps for Scotland, but never played here in my club career. I am Nigel Quasi.
Nigel Quasi, well done if you got it. Charlie Blair in third place, Spam Rogic in second, and David Scott was the winner. We will take your calls after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141 951 1025.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl are here to look back on today's football, look forward to tomorrow's football, and take in any other big stories that you want to discuss. If it is about today's football, you might want to get in touch about an absolute blockbuster between St Mirren and Kilmarnock. Killy down to 10 men, as is often the case this season, but they managed to get a 2-2 draw in Paisley. Celtic's pretty much perfect start to the season continues. A 2-0 win against Hearts. There were some incidents in that though. Hearts got a penalty. It was overturned with the help of VAR, and then Celtic got a penalty after the ref went to the monitor, and that sent Celtic on their way. So you can get your thoughts in on that one. On to tomorrow as well. I think most people expected Celtic to win today, but now that it's confirmed, it just cements it for you Rangers fans. You know what you have to do. Can't really fall behind any further at this stage in the season. And of course, it's against the backdrop of a tough start to the season. Fans outside after the previous game, chairman stepping down today, all that sort of stuff. So there's lots to get through. Let's go to Ross, who's on the line. Hi, Ross.
Hi there. Yeah, I'm a Hearts fan. You probably know that. I've phoned in before. I watched the game this afternoon. The penalty that was given against us, the penalty that was given for us, I disagree with the referee, because if it hit his hand and he gave the penalty, then it should have been that way. I don't know why it's gone to VAR to discount it, because his arm was well out.
I think it's the proximity one. Ross, obviously Willie Collins had a lot to say on handballs this week, and let's just put this out for the avoidance of doubt. This is not saying that they're going to get everyone right from now into the end of the season. That's impossible. So, but on that, we spoke a lot about proximity, and if you're very, very close, then there might be the case that the penalty's not given. Was Lauren Shanklin very close to Liam Scales? I wonder if that's the bit that's ruled it out.
What about the Conor Barron one at the beginning of the season?
Well, again,
that one's not given.
But again, that's why, that was the reason. So it was pretty close, and it was judged that his hand, although his elbow was up, it was kind of tucked across his chest, and then the ball hit him more sort of where the chest would be, if you like. You know, that old one that if you took his arm away, it would still hit him in the chest anyway. That was the explanation. You don't need to buy into it, but that was the...
So that's no different from what Penrice did then? That's the same?
So you think Penrice's hands were across his body? You don't think Penrice's hand was outstretched?
His arm didn't go towards the ball.
That's not what I asked.
Nah. So it's all firm rules. So it's real, one rule for the old firm, one rule for everyone else. That's what I asked. It's always been like that.
Ross, can I take you back to Hearts versus Celtic at Tynecastle last season, when Yang is adjudged to have handled the ball and...
Iwata,
I beg your pardon, and Hearts
get the penalty kick as a result. Now, you know, that was later shown to be...
To be fair though, we should take it on this year's interpretation, because there was an acknowledgement that that was wrong. That was a mistake. Hearts should not have had a penalty that day, is the point you were about to make.
So therefore, you know, that just to answer this question of institutionalised bias, which is what Ross is on to talk about.
Yeah, he said one rule for...
One rule for the rest and another rule for Celtic and Rangers. Well, the award given against Iwata, Ross, at Tynecastle destroys your argument.
How does that do anything, Hugh? Because at the end of the day, you still got a penalty at the end of the day. If you missed the penalty, it would have been 1-0. So what's the difference? Your argument's terrible there.
I really don't understand what you're talking about. My argument is that you are on to accuse Scottish referees of institutionalised bias. You have said there's one rule for Celtic and Rangers and another rule for the rest. And I'm pointing out to you that Iwata's handball at Tynecastle, which was later shown to be wrongly turned into a penalty, that destroys your argument, because it takes away the argument about institutionalised bias.
He's right, is he not, Ross? I mean, because the mistakes will happen, and that's why we're here. I hope they keep happening in a sense, and I hope we keep disagreeing. But if refs were out to help Celtic and go against Hearts when it comes to handballs, then they wouldn't have gave that one last season.
Mistakes will happen, yeah. That's what you would call it.
Ross, I can't help but feel like you're avoiding the point. Let's answer it head on. If referees were out to help Celtic with handballs and go against Hearts with handballs, as a rule, as an institution, why did Iwata get that penalty against them at Tynecastle last season?
Last season? I'm talking about this season. I'm not talking about last season.
So they've started the institutional bias for Celtic and against Hearts when it comes to handballs over the summer. Is it a new thing that they've started in the summer?
Well, it already has, because the Barron one wasn't given. They had two former Grade 1 referees who said it was a penalty, and now you're saying that that's not a penalty. So you're making the rules up to suit yourselves. That's basically it.
We are not making up any rules. We are here to talk about the interpretation of the rules. Now, I do understand that in the depths of your disappointment, you're angry that Hearts have lost today in the bottom of the league and so on and so forth. However, your argument about institutionalised bias does not stand up.
I think we often, because we get, all of us get kind of frustrated about decisions, whatever, and we start kind of going off in weird directions, Mark. So what I don't want to get lost here, you're allowed to phone in today and think that was a penalty and that one wasn't and whatever, because that's fine. Let's argue about the interpretations of it, because people are going to see them differently. That is okay. That won't change, and it shouldn't change, no matter how many times Willie Collum or anyone else speaks.
Well, I expected this. I expected Hearts fans to think that they had been hard done by today, because it's only natural. You know, you think your team's got a penalty and the ball looks like it does hit Liam Scales' hand, and then equally the Celtic penalty, you know, that's given. So you feel there's been an injustice there, but you have to interpret the rules, Ross, unfortunately. And Gordon's explained them. Proximity comes into it, and the two incidents are different. When you look at them, each on their own merits, they are different. Although it's still handball for both sides, they are different handballs, and it's been explained by the referees. Couldn't it be much clearer, in my opinion?
You guarantee one thing. I know what Ross is saying, right, and he's not really got that argument there. But Stephen Naismith, the Hearts manager, I will guarantee he comes out and says exactly.
Yeah, when it's two in the same game, it's perfect for argument, isn't it? It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah. It's not for debate.
Because let's be honest, they could be, and I'm not saying these two are, they could be entirely different, but people would still lump them together because they're in the same game.
There is a human dimension to this, as I said to you earlier. One man's close proximity is another man's reasonable distance. But Ross's core point about institutionalised bias is a nonsense.
And let's remember, the referee on both occasions did the opposite.
Yeah.
So he gave the penalty, and VAR, after he had a look, he changed his mind, and it was the opposite for the Celtic one. So he wasn't sure on both occasions. And it was in the same penalty area where the same assistant is 20 yards away as well. And for the Celtic one, he didn't flag, and he's standing closest. So, of course, there's a debate, but I think both decisions were correct.
Also, I said this last night, Gordon, I knew this would happen, because as good as it's been to hear the openness and the transparency, people were desperate, and I didn't think it would happen the very next day, to almost find an example of then when you can go against that. And that's what people will do. What we'll never get away from, it is still a subjective decision to be made. Willie Collum can do all he likes. He can do as many interviews as he likes. He can train the referees any way he likes. Ultimately, in the heat of the moment, the ref or the VAR has to decide, is that too close or is it not? Yeah. As Hugh says, you don't get a tape measure out. The rules don't say anything within a metre isn't a handball and anything out with a metre isn't. What is too outstretched for an arm? Is it slightly by your side? Is it up a bit? Then you get to the, which by the way might be a consideration on the Celtic one. I've seen a few people point out, where does it hit you in the arm? Is it above the t-shirt line? Is it not? These are all still subjective judgments, and people will never agree on them, and that's okay.
The only thing about VAR today for me, it gave the referee an opportunity to take a deep breath and go and have a look and take his time and then make the judgment. Because sometimes you see something and for the first one, he points right to the spot, right? Mm-hmm. He goes over, he gets his time, gets his breath, he looks at it two or three times, Gordon, which is benefit to him. Now, Hearts fans will never agree in this afternoon. That's what the handball's all about. Celtic fans will be totally in agreement.
But again, as you say there, right, because we always do this, this is the ugly bit of the discourse in Scotland. If the ref was out to get Hearts, as Ross alleges, why did he point to the spot for the first one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And just wave it away.
And let me say, I've watched him after a game, and my opinion, and it's only my opinion, I'm not interested in Hearts or Celtic. I couldn't care less about any two teams. But for me, I thought the referee called both decisions 100% right.
Okay, thank you Ross for his time. We don't have to agree, we can agree to disagree or whatever, we can go round on it. Interpretations, sleeve lines and unnatural positions and proximity, there's no joy left in football anymore. But anyway, 01419511025. We can get to the result as well and the performance and so on if you fancy that as well. Look ahead to tomorrow's games perhaps. Get your calls in right now.
After they play, you have your say. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DLR here. It's 0141-951-1025. And you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. If you want to get in touch, we're looking ahead to tomorrow's game if you want. Because it's big anyway, Hugh. And I know we do this and the points gap and all that sort of stuff. For Rangers, they really need to focus on themselves. But obviously, another set of drop points on a weekend where Celtic won again would just bring everything into sharper focus, wouldn't it?
And let's not just talk about Celtic. Aberdeen are 8 points ahead of Rangers. And therefore, there's big pressure on Rangers tomorrow. The story everywhere will be John Bennett stepping down from his role as chairman. For health reasons, we wish him well. But pressure is mounting. Philippe Clement can't talk about players need 3 months, 6 months, etc. His players need until 2:30 tomorrow, and they have got to come off that park at Tannadice with all 3 points. Otherwise, the unhappiness, the uncertainty, everything that is negative around Rangers grows another bit. And the chairman and what's happened today causes that match to start with a feeling of destabilisation at Rangers.
Tony is a Celtic fan. Pleased with today, Tony?
Yeah, very pleased, yeah. I thought we struggled a wee bit in the last third today and Hearts were quite dogged, but we played pretty well overall.
What do you think that was down to, Tony? Because obviously most people expected a really fluent performance given the start to the season.
Probably a 2 week break, or the coming off an international break, and a couple of new players just settling into the team. I think Engels looks quite good, different from O'Reilly, but I think maybe a wee bit more for Hatate in the final third, but overall pretty pleased with the start to the season of today's game.
Is that the case, Mark? Because we spoke about it before, it's not like we're just saying it now. Brendan Rodgers was asked yesterday, can it be hard, even just slightly, to pick up where you left off after a break? And he said, yes, it's a challenge. We spoke about it earlier. Is that what maybe just takes the edge off? I mean, Celtic still win 2-0. They were worth their win. But is that maybe just the bit that...
I think that's the area of the pitch that you need to be really sharp, don't you? You know, to rack up those emphatic results that we're used to seeing Celtic at home. And maybe just were a wee bit short of that. But by all accounts, you know, the rest of their play was fine. They created plenty of chances in that first half, by all accounts, that they could have been out of sight, but they just didn't take their chance. I think Kyogo had a couple of chances, good save from Gordon. I think Kuhn had one at the back post. Ingles hits the post. So it would be much more concerning for Brendan Rodgers had it been like a performance from last season, where it was all about pedantic and not creating many chances. So he'd be quite happy with the pace and the tempo of how they played. And with the resources they've got, you always fancied them for a goal in that second period, and they got there in the end.
Mm. What else jumped out for you, Tony?
I think today, I disagree with one of the panel members, said it pretty much had a good game and he got the decisions right. I thought there was only two key decisions he had to make and he got them both wrong. And if it hadn't been for VAR, because I'm not a fan of VAR, it would have been a different story. Hearts getting the penalty, you know, early on, and Celtic getting denied a Stonewall penalty. I think that the ref had quite a poor game.
Don't you find, Tony, that there's a requirement sometimes to give the referee credit for going against himself? He has acknowledged his mistake and he has overturned the original award. That's a difficult thing when you're inside a ground at, like, Celtic Park, 60,000 people there. And at the end of the day, that's what VAR is there for. It is there to pick up on a mistake that you might have made, and the man has owned up to two of them.
So are you saying it's okay for the referee to get it wrong because you've got VAR as a backup, or he should stick by his own decisions?
I'm saying that...
contradicting yourself there.
No. The referee acknowledged a mistake twice, and he overturned himself twice.
I do get where Tony's coming from, because, by the way, I think my understanding, somebody can pick me up if I'm wrong, you know, the ref gets marked down because he did get those decisions wrong. But at the same time, it's kind of what it... Well, it's not kind of. It's exactly what it's there for. And if we all accept that mistakes are going to happen, surely it's best to just get the right outcome. Tony's right. Tony's absolutely right. How good would it be if they got everything right first time?
But Tony began by saying that Celtic in the final third were unsatisfactory. Therefore, you know, they were making mistakes in the same manner that the referee was.
I think he's right. But it's idealistic.
Yeah.
Because if the ref's got everything right first time, VAR wouldn't exist. That is why it's there. The ref, as I said, my understanding is he gets marked down for that because he makes the mistakes. But it feels like we've got enough to worry about. It feels like the main thing is like the end decision. How they get there, yeah, we can have our grumbles, but that can't be the priority.
No, I agree. I think if you can get to the correct decision, then fine. It's very hard to argue with Tony because the referee did call the two decisions wrong in the end. But VAR gave them the opportunity to go over, settle down, because a referee sometimes will see something, and football's played at a very fast pace now, and especially the first one. You know, you could see probably a lot of referees looking at that and thinking, penalty kick right away. And you've got a split second, Gordon. You've got to make that decision. VAR's there to help you sit back and go, right, I've got another couple of looks at it. And the good thing about it is, and I think Tony will agree, that it ended up the right decisions for me.
And as we've seen this week, the important bit, actually, the communication, what's said, and it's been interesting this week to hear some of that VAR audio, but what is said is actually very important, Mark, because if what the ref thinks he saw is then, and he explains that, he verbalises that, if that's different to what the VAR think, that's when this kind of clear and obvious error bit comes in. I'm being purely hypothetical. I've obviously not heard today's VAR audio, so don't quote me on this. But as an example, first penalty's given. Okay, was it Colin Stephen, was it?
Yeah.
Anyway, Colin, what do you think you've seen there? I think Liam Scales' arm is high. I think it's outstretched. I think the ball hits it. It's on its way to goal. VAR, where do you think it hits him? I think it hits him in his elbow, right? But VAR takes a look at it and says, actually, I think you'll find the ball hits him quite high in the arm. I think that might be above the t-shirt line. You might want to come and have a look at this. So that's the type of thing that they're trying to.
That's totally understandable. I think everyone is in that position would carry that out in the same way, because it did hit his arm. It's factually correct. It did hit his arm. What you can't judge, as Daz says, the pace of the game. You can't be sure sometimes of how close it was. And you mentioned earlier on, there is no measuring tape to say that's too close to give. Or so sometimes you need to make the decision. Seeing the second one, I can again understand why he doesn't give it, purely because
just as a human
being, a human being, you must think I've got the first one wrong. Mm. Now, who I'm not giving a bye though is the assistant. The assistant is there to help the referee in times like that, and he's looking right at that one. So that's where he does need assistance, not through VAR, through the people who's there to assist him on the pitch. So I will give him a bye in that second one.
Let's not make VAR be the absolute star of every show. Tony, what do you think of Arne Ingles today? Were you impressed with him?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty good player. He's obviously different from O'Reilly, but he's coming from a pretty good league. We've paid a lot of money for him, so we just need to kind of wait and see and let the guy get a bit of time, because he's again, Scotland's a different league from others. Mm-hmm. It's probably quite a hard league, to be fair. Doesn't get the credit it should get, but £11 million, whatever it costs in total, is a lot of money. So you get a big name and a big price tag to live up to, I would say.
Did we see enough Mark to know, like, stylistically, like what is he? You know, Tony says he's different from Matt O'Reilly. Mm. I'm sure he is. What's he going to bring, do you think?
I'm not too sure, but I mean, in that first period, you know, got involved a lot. You know, I've seen the one he's hit the post. I like the way he actually took the ball, looked very composed under pressure in the box, and it was a good strike. Like, if you're analysing his penalty, it was a cool head at a crucial moment in the game. Didn't put his laces through it, like I said. So maybe that tells you something about his character.
He took it like Matt O'Reilly would.
Yeah, nice and easy. But the £11 million spent on him, I think the majority of that price tag is for the games coming up on Wednesday night. He's got to be that player that hopefully takes Celtic to the next level in European competition. And if I'm being honest, you can't hope for a better opener than against Bratislava in the Champions League, where a goal behind your £11 million player and some of the other guys that you've added to the squad all playing well. So you would expect him to rise to the occasion, and that's where he'll probably be judged, rather than, you know, home games against other opposition in this league. The Champions League is where Ingles has got to shine.
What I've seen of him, I've got to say, and I think Mark summed it up perfectly. When you're there, 60,000, and you keep talking about this £11 million price tag, and we noticed that McGregor had a word with Hatate and put the responsibility right onto him and said, look, give him the ball to take the penalty kick. Cool as a cucumber. You know, some people could have snatched at that, because you could have got a little bit uptight, worried, thinking I need to score here because this price tag's on me, everybody's looking. But for me, the lad looks like he's grown into being a real, real Celtic player. I like to look at him when he come on against Rangers. I know he didn't do a lot. He's hit the post today. He scored a penalty. The confidence, man of the match in the stadium as well, Gordon. So it's been a very good day for him.
Thank you to Tony, who was calling there from Mount Vernon, 01419511025. We'll try and hear from some of the referees. No, we won't see him referees in the brain. We'll hear from some of the managers after that today. What about you, Killian St Mirren fans? That was a lively game in Paisley. So if you want to give us your thoughts on that one, please do. What about Dundee United Rangers tomorrow? How are you Rangers fans feeling? What does the break do? Does it sort of calm you down? Does it make all the frustrations, or any of the frustrations from the Celtic game, go away? Are you feeling a bit more optimistic about tomorrow, or are you still not looking forward to it? What about Brami as an example? Does he play? Does he start? He's fit. He's been playing for Albania, but Philippe Clement pointing out yesterday he's only just met his teammates and doesn't know their names, so maybe he's not ready to feature. I wonder what you think. Robert's a Kelly fan first though. Robert,
how you doing, gentlemen?
Are you caught your breath after that game today?
Sadly, I couldn't go to the game. I'm away to surgery in my shoulder, so I couldn't actually drive down. So I watched it on TV, and that was a shambles. It was an absolute shambles. And I'm not talking about, although we were defending was bad, I thought the referee was horrific. He missed. Gervaisel got kicked twice while lying on the ground right in front of him, and he gave absolutely nothing. A player who took it thinly and then was immediately subbed because he was heading for getting red carded as well, and get away with that. I'm sorry, VAR is killing this game. It genuinely is. This is a joke. It really, really is.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot, and it's hard at this stage on a Saturday. You don't have the chance quite yet to pore over them all. But clearly there's a lot to get through there, Hugh.
Well,
with the...
yeah, of course. But the first three callers have all been on about referees and VAR. And it tells me the job that Willie Collum has on his hands. And he started very well, in my opinion. But he spent 2 hours here trying to explain to people why decisions are taken, how they are arrived at. And my basic feeling is that no matter... And the first three callers, one was a Hearts fan, one a Celtic fan, Robert's a Kelly fan. No matter who you support, people don't trust referees, they don't trust VAR, and the biggest problem is if a decision goes against their team, they automatically believe that the combination of the referee and VAR created a mistake rather than a combination of the referee and VAR prevented a mistake.
Did it feel like a good point though, Robert? I know you're frustrated, but given everything that does happen and you are down to 10 men, does it feel like a good point?
Oh, hey, listen, see when you're playing against 14 people, it's absolutely a great point. It genuinely is a good point. I mean, we get a straight red card today for one of your defenders trying to push another defender out of the way because he was blocking him, and it was deemed a straight red card. Don't look at the video. Aye, it's maybe a...
Does he catch him in the sort of you-know-where region, Robert?
Gentlemen, we're all guys. I think we're all guys there.
I'm worried where this is going.
If you get hit down there, we all know you're doing your stand down. You're not getting back up 30 seconds later and running away. I don't care what Andy says. He made a meal of that. He was trying to get a penalty and he got it. Congratulations to him. He cheated. And that's my opinion.
Well, then if that is the case, and that's a huge if, then... You know, it's not always the ref's fault then. If you're saying that players need to behave and conduct themselves in a different manner, you know, do they need to take a look at that? Like we said, Mark, we'll need to be forensic about this stuff and spend their weekends and poring over them. That's the suggestion, that the player was caught in that area, yeah. And that becomes a decision for the ref. And Robert doesn't think it is. Is that a good point for Kilmarnock in the end, given the adversity that Robert alleges they faced?
It's a great point for them. You can understand Robert's frustrations because his team's disciplinary record this season has been poor, and the last thing you want is to lose Joe Wright again. But if he's deemed to have made the foul by the ref and VAR has supported it, it's an awful lot of people getting things wrong there. If that red card stood,
put it this way, if it wasn't for VAR, they wouldn't have been going away with a point, wouldn't they? Because the Scott goal right at the end,
yeah, would have counted.
Would have counted. So
we are very selective about this. It's the bit of wish we could sort of ditch. Mm. You're allowed to disagree with decisions. It's what makes shows like this turn. But we just all forget when it goes for you. We just ignore it point blank to try and make some sort of point.
That's what I said to you earlier on. The people assume that if the decision has gone against them, then the decision was wrong. They never, ever, or ever will take into account the fact that, unfortunate, we thought we'd won 3-2 at the end, but the referee got it right by chalking it off. That will never, ever happen.
Any sort of bigger concerns, Robert, about the form this season, or did you see enough today, that character there, if you say you're up against it, disciplinary wise, and you get the point, you feeling like things will look up from now on?
I'm a season ticket holder. I've seen pretty much every game. We've actually played really well in most games, apart from the Celtic game at the very start. But other than that, we've actually played no too bad. I watched us playing, getting beat 3-0 for St Johnston, and we were the better team. And how we lose 3-0, I don't know. Oh, that's right, there was another red card. Ah, there you go, VAR again. But genuinely speaking, I think we actually are playing quite well. Obviously, the disciplinary record is something that has to be looked at and has to be addressed. But then again, if you're getting innocuous tackles, getting straight-redded for, like today, I mean, what chance do you really have? I mean, I genuinely think, and I supported VAR. I wanted VAR to come because I thought, this will help your terrible referees. And it's actually made them worse. How can it make them worse? But the form will improve. We'll get better. We will climb the league. I'm quite sure of that. We really are a really good team, and we're playing well. You can see that today. Even despite being down to 10 men and playing against a referee and linesman VAR, we still managed to walk it there with a point, which I think is a really good point.
Thank you very much to Robert, a Kilmarnock fan from Lennox Town, 01419511025. Here's what Stephen Naismith had to say on those penalty incidents at Celtic Park.
I don't think our penalty is a penalty in the guidelines in terms of the distance between the players, but I also don't think theirs is a penalty. I think that it's down to opinion, but I think that the images we are shown before the season about distance, it's all down to this. It hits his arm, but it's distance. For me, I think there's nothing he can do. I think he's, the motion is the one that we showed in the pre-season. So I disagree with that, and that's a big moment in the game. I think it was we probably were a wee bit better in possession in the second half. We believed a bit more, and the crowd were getting frustrated. But when that goes in, it then changes it. And then the second goal comes when we open the game up a bit and there's a bit more space.
Do you think the two incidents were basically the same then? If you can't get the first one,
Just the distance of it. What the interpretation has been is that there is times the ball's going to hit somebody's hand and there's nothing they can do. We need to accept that. I just feel that both of them are in the same ballpark. I don't think there's... I don't think there's distance between James and the balls great enough that he can get his hand out of the way.
Well, we can argue about that until whenever you like. Talk actual football as well, which might be a novel concept if you so wish. What about tomorrow, Rangers fans? How are you feeling? Are you feeling confident? Are you fearing the worst? Does the team still fill you with that belief that they can go and get something? Should Barami start? What should the team look like? Get your calls in.
Are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here, 01419511025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB, as we react to today's football and look forward to tomorrow's game as well. What are you thinking tomorrow, Tannadice? Gordon DL, should that be a worrying fixture for Rangers or not?
Usually I would say no, but I think Dundee United have started the season brilliantly. They've recruited very well. They're playing with a lot of confidence. Rangers are going up there. I still make them firm favourites, Gordon. I think if Rangers play at their capabilities, they should win the game, but it's not always like that. That's a difficult, difficult fixture for them, especially with Celtic, you know, on 15 points now. That gap's getting bigger. They can't allow it to get any further away from them. So a little bit of pressure going to Tannadice. Jim Goodwin will fancy that. I think he'll make it very, very difficult for Rangers. Interesting to see what Clement's going to do tomorrow, Rangers lineup. I think he'll maybe have one or two changes, and it'll be interesting to see how they play.
Nadeem Barami has got to play tomorrow. I don't care if he doesn't know their names and he's only had one or two training sessions. Rangers' needs are here and now. He doesn't have time to wait 3 weeks until he feels better and knows his way around Glasgow. Rangers need to get 3 points tomorrow. Even a draw is a bad afternoon for them. As I say, they're 8 points behind Celtic and also Aberdeen. They are losing ground, and if they lose any more ground, Clement will be in trouble.
I would agree with that. I would agree with Barami has to play, and I would agree with, you know, you can lose to Celtic and there's uproar and there's fans outside the stadium, but and you can claim Celtic are light years ahead and they've been playing together for a year or so more than your side. But if you go to Tannadice and get a negative result, you're in a whole load of trouble this early on in the season. So Philippe Clement and his side know they desperately need 3 points tomorrow.
This issue of does Barami play, does he not? Result is king. We said it with Celtic. Had Arne Ingles not played today, shrug of the shoulders. You're winning, you've got players there. The need becomes greater. That's the way the Rangers fans see it. Is that the bottom line, or can you understand anything about the fact he trains yesterday for the first time and you might not put him in under those?
Honestly, just hearing what you're saying about the manager's comments, I'm doubting that he's got to start tomorrow. You know, see when someone comes out and says he doesn't know the players' names and he's not had enough training sessions. I know the importance of the game. Every Rangers fan knows the importance of the game. I just think that's a clue to say, look, I'm not going to start.
I suppose
him.
He's got another day training today,
exactly.
Presumably.
So he can nice, learn their names today.
A nice night in the Old Course Hotel. Well,
there you are.
Probably.
I mean, but who's ahead of him? And that's what you've got to say.
If
there are people tearing up the place ahead of him, of course, you've got time. You've got somebody ahead of you that's doing the job. They've not. So necessity is key. And I'd be shocked if he didn't play tomorrow.
John's a Rangers fan. What do you think, John?
I think Benami's got to start tomorrow. When he created midfielders off him as much. Diamante, I think he's, especially in bigger games, he's non-consistent. He's never to be seen. So I think that boy's got to start him on.
You don't care much for this notion that he's not met his teammates long enough. You don't think that matters?
Should it really matter if he's days talking on the park with football? It shouldn't really make a difference if you don't know the boys who had him. Just, you've got to do your job, haven't you?
Is that fair, Mark? Having played?
I think so. In an ideal world, of course, you would love to come in the first day of pre-season and get to know your team and all the staff and great. But we've spoke about this before. Transfer window, clubs leave it to the last minute to sign. And if you leave it to the last minute to sign players, you've got to expect to need them right away.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't start and it was a comfortable, it was a nice scenario, it was a sub appearance. So I'm not saying it's the same. But Arnie Ingles.
Yeah.
Played, he came on for Celtic against Rangers, didn't he? Yeah. Probably, I don't know how much he would have known all of his teammates
football,
by that point.
Football is supposed to be a universal language, or so they have told us for years. And apart from that, the bottom line, and John on the line knows this to be true, if Rangers draw or lose tomorrow, it's crisis time for the Rangers supporters. Chairman has gone for health reasons, there is no CEO. The club has been shrouded in uncertainty from the word go, moved out of Ibrox to Hampden, out of the Champions League, lost a fortune. The season has started in a deeply worrying fashion for John and the other Rangers supporters. They're not going to stand by and listen to, oh, he doesn't know everyone's names yet.
John, are you confident for tomorrow or still fearing the worst of it?
I'm not confident at all now with Rangers. It's going to be a long season, in my opinion.
I suppose what might not help is Dundee United are in good form, yeah. Mark.
Yeah, and that is the trouble to come up against. Daz said earlier, Tannadice usually been okay for Rangers in previous years, but you look at where both clubs are going into this. Rangers coming off the back of that defeat and everything that Hughes mentioned that's going on off the field, and Dundee United are the opposite. A team who's come up and Jim Goodwin has ripped up the blueprint and pieced it together again with signings that, let's be honest, nobody really knew much about, and he's getting a tune out of them just coming off the back of that win at Tynecastle, which was unexpected. So they're in a good place, Rangers aren't, and that's sometimes what you need to be a leveler when you come up against one of the big two. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game, certainly is. Team selection is going to be key from Philippe Clement, and the way Jim Goodwin's plays 3-4-3, there's holes in that to be picked. But you've got to be top of your game if you're Rangers.
Do you think he'll stick with that tomorrow because it's Rangers?
I'd be surprised if he didn't. Yeah. I mean, he's worked all pre-season. To rip it up now would... But I get what you're saying. You give up so much space and opportunity for the opposition.
Right, thanks to John, who was on the line there in Maryhill. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on the performance today.
Really pleased. I think that after an international break, you want your players to show up. And the players have done that. Travelling all around the world. Training's obviously a little bit broken, but I thought we had a lot of really good moments in the game. First half, like we have been, we want to score if we can and get the early goal, and then that can change the dynamic. We didn't quite do that. We had good chances in the mixture of us not finishing and Big Craig making some good saves and maybe misplacing a few passes that didn't allow us to get the goal. So, but I think what really pleased me was, and I mentioned to the players, don't become desperate. You're never going to play every game and be three up in the first half or four or five. The objective for us today was win, get our fluency and get our movement patterns back in again, get some guys coming in and understanding the system. So, so I think we did that, and by the end I thought we were Very good winners of the game.
And here was his take on Arnie Ingles' full debut.
Yeah, he had two great opportunities. Again, making the box. One, he sort of wrapped his foot around it, put it over the bar, and then one, it hit the post off the throw-in. We were quick thinking, done that really well. But yeah, he's going to be a really good player. He's tall, he's athletic, he can run, his touch is good. He's aggressive, he presses, he counter-presses. So I really like him, that's why we brought him here. And at 20 years of age, he's only going to improve. So pleased for him. And obviously he gets the penalty, so he shows his courage to take it and score.
We said, 2 o'clock today, maybe slight surprise just that Bernardo had been dropped, if that's the right word, because of how well he did against Rangers. But was this really about Wednesday? You want Arnie Ingles to play in your first Champions League game, so you play him today?
Well, if it is all about Wednesday, it was a decision that's obviously worked 100%, because he got man of the match, he gets his first Celtic goal, and then he gets a pat on the back from the manager after a game. So he's certainly going to look at the midweek game fully confident. So yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers, I was a bit surprised because I thought Bernardo was very unfortunate to be left out the side, especially when he only makes one change. But Brendan Rodgers showed today why he decided to bring the young lad in. He's quite rightly said there, he's 20 years of age. He showed a lot of composure in his penalty kick. I think he's really going to be a top player for Celtic.
A real theme of today has been contentious decisions. Derek McInnes is not happy with the referee in their 2-0 draw against St Mirren.
Sean Rooney, when he volleys Kyle Vassell in the deck, VAR isn't he going to get involved in that? When are they going to get involved? Kyle Vassell is between the ball and Sean Rooney. Now, if Sean Rooney is trying to get to the ball and showing a bit of restraint to try and get there, but he has went full-blooded volley into Kyle Vassell's hip, and the referee doesn't even speak to him, never mind deal with him. So disappointed that we have that has been allowed. That is allowed on a football pitch. It shouldn't be, and it should be condemned. I don't like talking about the team's players, but that was an outrageous part of refereeing.
Oh, we're back. We are after this international break and then some.
Not a happy man in the place, apart from Brendan Rodgers and Jimmy Thielen, because they've won, they've got the points, they're both on 15 points and joint top of the league. And that's why tomorrow at Tynedice is immense for Philippe Clement. There is no ground to be lost. The gap is too great already, and if it becomes an even wider gulf, then Philippe Clement is seriously under pressure.
I'm looking forward to seeing all these incidents over the weekend, because it seems to be a good few. I mean, Derek McInnes, it seems really animated there, and he's usually, somebody said it earlier, usually really honest and upfront. He's maybe frustrated at his players' lack of discipline. He's called it Sean Rooney. I thought Rooney was lucky a couple of weeks ago. Was it up at Dens Park as well? So he might have something. I'd like to see him.
Never a dull moment in Scottish football, and that will continue. Yes, we had Willie call him all week. We thought it was the end. It was all about the referees. Once again, VAR get it today.
See, that's only your mistake, is you're thinking it was the end of it. It was never going to be. But anyway, thank you to Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans. And thank you for listening, for keeping us company on a Saturday afternoon. It feels good to be back, doesn't it? Even if your team was on the receiving end today, it's good to be back after the international break. Of course, the big weekend across the Scottish Premiership is not done yet. All eyes on Tannadice tomorrow for Dundee United against Rangers. And that then forms the bigger picture. How will that league table look come tomorrow evening? Celtic and Aberdeen both still flying high. We'll see how it looks after that game at Tannadice. And then whatever happens, we look back on every single bit of it on Monday evening from 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. The GBX is up next.